Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. I am the show's frontman and main host, the Reverend Godfather, and yes, this is the first solo-based episode of the new year, and there is a lot to talk about, so let's just jump right into it as best as we can, because one of the first things I want to talk about is the movie that I just got done watching. It is an independent movie. It is called And There Were Four. It is directed by a person. Dude, if you're listening to this, I apologize for mispronouncing your name. The person who directed it is Saquon Jones. Yeah, I deeply apologize for butchering your name. According to, this movie is only found on Amazon Prime. Yes, you could rent it like we do or own it. Rental is $3 and to purchase it is $10, which for the most part, for an independent film that's on Amazon, that's a good price. And according to the description of this movie, is Joel, an actor who plays a superhero named Thrill, finds his life in turmoil when a disagreement forces him to leave his home. But what happens when the fictional Thrill and reality-based Joel begin to become interwoven as they each encounter completely different individuals with interconnecting journeys of relationships, love, drama, and race, with both fiction and reality colliding in the end. And I'm not going to spoil anything for you. I'm going to say this. One, this is the movie, with movies like Get Out and such movies like that, and this is what we need. This is what I've been preaching a little bit. This is the independent thought we need. Granted, there is a little bit of the undertones there in regards to how some people in the white community still view African Americans and how that happens, because this is an African American movie. I do not want to say black because I feel there is a wrongness to say, even though there could be some politeness about it, but I'd rather prefer to say African American. But I want to say this is the thought process we need. It's his views, and it's from these group of people, Joel and his friends' point of view. So I can't fault them from that. I can't really comment on the racial themes throughout the movie, whether they're more out in the open or as well as maybe the subtleties, because I myself am white, so I'm going to step away from that and just separate that aspect of this movie, because it does comment, and I will say this though, the racial topics that are brought up, yeah, they're valid. I'll say that they are valid, and some of what he is in this movie does relate to what is happening in today's age. But overall, as a whole, this is a solid movie. And Mr. Jones. Saquon, I'm going to call you Mr. Jones for the time being because I don't want to butcher your name. Mr. Jones does a great job telling these two different storylines. The one of Joel and the other one of Thrill. And yes, they do kind of intertwine in the end. And it's kind of really interesting to see how the storyline, in a way, both of them kind of intertwine at that last little moment. And there is a tragic end to this. I'm not going to say what it is, but it is a little bit of a tragic end. But again, it's a very well done. This is why Is this an independent film? Yes, I'll say that. This is an independent film. With me being a fan of John Johnson and Darkstone and a lot of the local independent circuits here in the Martinsburg, Virginia, and Maryland area, my experience is with mostly the horror genre. And I want to say this. This is, again, different. It's a drama. The movie is a drama. It's a superhero movie. It's a drama. It's an action. But a lot of the violent. It, the only thing is, it has the action violence in regards to fighting scenes. But in regards to blood, guts, and gore, it doesn't have that, and it's kept to a very, very little, almost PG level themes to it. There is. Other than the few instances, I'm not knocking it at all for the few instances of the N bomb. I'll say it like that. The few instances of the N bomb, and even that, I don't know who brought it up. It's like, listen, even they say don't say that word. We're not that. We're kings. We're kings. We're not that type of person. We're not the type of people that use that word. We're kings. We're kings. We're masters of our own destiny in a way. And I like that premise that we're better than using those terms. So I like that premise. In a way, I like that message. I don't know if that's what he was going for, or Mr. Jones was going for, or whoever was writing this. Let's see. Let's see here. Casts. Let's see here. Who? Let's see. It doesn't really give the whole. Let's bring this up on IMDb, folks. Let's bring this. Ooh, I just turned off my put my phone to sleep, folks. And let's go with that. Like I said, this was a very good film. Very good film. Everything was balanced. Everything was up to par. It wasn't. There isn't that much language other than the instance of the N-word uttered, I want to say not even a, maybe, if anything, a half dozen to a dozen times. Other than that, not at all. And again, for a low budget film, I don't know, that's a relative term because I've seen films that have considered themselves low budget be under like several thousand dollars. And which is legitimately low budget, and some people say, "Yeah, I'm a low budget film. It cost me about $1 million." So it, I guess that's relative for most people. Do I recommend watching this? Yes. Will I personally own it? Probably not. But I do like it, and I strongly recommend this, giving it a shot. And if this movie, if you're not sure about it, do rent it for at least $3 on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, it is free on Amazon Prime. So if you do, give it a watch, give it a check. Let's see. And there were, let's see, were four. Let's see here. Oh, wait a minute. I just saw you little. There it is, right at the top. This came out last year in 2018. And I think I retweet. Let me just say this. Let me just. Writer, oh, Chuck, Mr. Jones both wrote it and directed it. So, Mr. Jones, I'll be happy to have hear your take on this. And once I have this computer set up for Skype interviews again and everything else, I'll be more than happy to have you on the show as an interview to tell you for you to give your story in regards to the process of making this film and hear where you were coming from in regards to this film or what your message was in regards to a lot of your messaging and your process was for this film because I believe there's a lot that you were trying to get out there that maybe racially I'm missing that you'd be better explaining it and we could definitely talk about your take and like I said folks I'm spending close to 10 minutes on this possibly longer praising this movie because a lot of times I go out on tangents saying you shouldn't a lot of the people out there that claim we need more X, Y, and Z. Let's change pre-existing characters to fit that narrative. And here it is, Mr. Jones saying, you know what? I want to try my thing. I want to say that. I'm not putting anything in Mr. Jones's mouth. Or this person's mouth. I don't know if it's a miss, so I don't mean to misgender if I am. But either way, I want to say that this film is that. It's that narrative saying, you know what, I'm going to do my thing. I want to write my own story. I want to film my own story. And I want to get... Everything was well acted. I think the one of the few downsides of this is, like most low-budget films, I don't want to say, again, I don't like that term because it's a very big sliding scale. The thing is, it is the ADR. It's very noticeable at times. But other than that, it's very well done. It's put together very well. It does have that, again, low-budget feel or that independent feel. I know there are a few people that prefer, I'm not a low-budget filmmaker. I'm an independent filmmaker. So however you want to classify yourself, that's fine. It has that low-budget / independent feel. It's everything that's there is not pressed upon and too heavy. That, like I said, I enjoyed this film. I enjoyed this, the aspect of the superhero aspect. I enjoyed the real-life narrative that was being shown in regards to the lead character. Let's go back here. And, whoop. Oh, man. There we go. It's right near the end. Let's see. Joel, his storyline. And Thrills, like I said, I enjoyed. I enjoyed both storylines, and Jones kind of, again, mixed those in a way that it doesn't, they overlap, but they intertwine. It was, again, very well done. If you have Amazon, check it out. The movie is And They Were Four. If you don't have Amazon Prime, give it a rental if you're unsure of it. But if you really want to build your independent movie collection, and your Amazon's your go-to app or your go-to thing to get a lot of the independent movies, go do it. It seems that Amazon has been or is the go-to for a lot of the local independent movie maker. I know John Johnson is now partnered in a way with Amazon, and so, check out And There Were Four, and let's kind of move on. I just want to get this because it's fresh in my mind, and I don't know if this would be a glowing review, but if you at home want to take it as a glowing review, take it as a glowing review. But if you want to check out this movie, check it out. Give it at least one watch if you need to rent it, if you have the funds to rent it, or if you have Amazon, rent it, watch it. Either way, give it a watch, and I want to hear your opinion about this, and if your opinion differs than mine, and you saw issues with it, or you problems with it, send us an email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and tell us what you thought of the movie, and we'll read it on air, and if we have Jones on the film, Saquon on the film, we'll have those messages to share with him to hear what you think about this movie. And let's go on. Let's move on a little bit. Because there are other things to talk about. There is. I just now got to pull up Facebook. Because, yep, there is a lot of stuff that has to be covered. One of which is Activision. Because that's fresh on my mind, folks. And that is Bungie and Activision. Now, have split ways. That's right, they have split ways. And is that a good thing? Well, it might be, because when Bungie split from Activision, this is maybe within 3 days of this recording, because I'm recording this Sunday night. The deal was, from what I've been hearing and all the articles I've been hearing, is the fact that Bungie got to take Destiny with him. Now, you've heard me complain about the first Destiny, and as of like back in 2017, you heard me complain about Destiny 2 and all the issues, especially in 2018 with my rants and raves in regards to DLC and all the problems that Destiny 2 had and Activision's hands in Destiny and seemingly to screw it up. Part of me wants to add the clip of Big Candy back in, you know, back in the day and his little thing of, and you screwed it up. Let me just say, it. Now that Bungie has this, will Destiny, because it was also announced maybe within the same time frame that Destiny 3 is coming out next year in 2020. So could that mean Destiny might actually be the better game? Because when you look at the history of Bungie, Bungie did Halo, the first Halo, second Halo, third Halo, and I think they did Reach before Microsoft kind of took over Halo and to some people drove it into the ground. But now that Bungie is doing their own thing and Activision is no longer kind of pressing things, therefore well, we might have a good game. Will I buy Destiny 3? Maybe, considering I have yet to dive deep into Red Dead Redemption 2. So, before we go into Red Dead Redemption 2 and talk a little bit about that, because news came out today, at least that I saw today, about Red Dead Redemption, let's talk about Activision a little bit. Because in the stock market, from what I heard, I think it was from Fortune.com and several YouTube sources, that Activision stock kind of fell, and a lot of people were saying that Activision's going to go the way of the dodo, but I don't think so. I agree with a lot of the commentators out there that since Activision still owns does Call of Duty, they still do. They still have their hands with Blizzard, so they're still going to make money. They're still going to continue on with what they do, but it's just that this news kind of rocked their world for a little bit. So let's kind of move on to Red Dead Redemption 2. The little bit of new nuggets. You heard me talk about Red Dead Redemption last week in regards to giving that little bit of review and issues that were pertaining to their online beta. Again, the main news that I've heard about the beta right now is the following, is that sometime maybe by the end of 2019, maybe early 2020, it will no longer be a beta. It will actually be an online service, but a new update hit Red Dead Redemption across the platforms today or within the past few days, that the online for Red Dead Redemption 2 is now does now have a battle royale type mode. So, for those of you that want to have that battle royale but don't want to do Black Ops 4 or Fortnite or pub games or whatever the heck it is, but this is your chance. But it's the trend right now because Fortnite is the big stinking thing out there, and it's a battle royale-esque game. So every game must have a battle royale type thing. It won't surprise me if, because I've been hearing word in regards to a Halo 6, that will have a battle royale, unless the whole trend of it kind of goes downhill in regards to battle royale by the time Halo 6 comes out and a couple of the newer games do come out with a multiplayer. And let's see. Come on. Don't you do that to me with all this thinking. That's the whole, they're calling it Gun Rush, I think it is. Let's see. What else? I've been posting a hell of a lot of memes. We did get, briefly, that we did get a lot of snow up here, but not as much as a lot of snow that are kind of our Midwestern cousins got over the past couple of days, and we'll be getting for the next couple of months as well. I think we might have gotten 5 to 6 inches. I hope a lot of you out there who are listening to us in the northern states and have received the first snow of the year, I hope you're staying warm, listening to other podcasts along with ours, and please take care. So, let's see here. Yes, we've been streaming. On that gaming note, we have been streaming, but as of tonight, as of this recording, we probably won't stream tonight. Last night, we did some testing in regards to some of the other games that we have in our library, thinking that if we could stream them, maybe we could play online as I could get you listeners that do have an Xbox Live account, get some of you on to play with us, or at least me, or the in essence, the show, whether through streaming or as just a one-on-one thing. But that test has proven one thing, that when it comes to the Xbox One, we could play multiplayer games like Call of Duty, World of War, Black Ops 4, and probably some of the other Xbox Live multiplayer games, again, like Red Dead Redemption 2, online with other people, with no problem, have party chat. But when it comes to the 360 games, like Halo Reach, or if I was playing the actual Halo 3, or let's say the original Black Ops, through the Xbox 360 emulator that is part of the Xbox One, I need a gold account, or at least the show needs a gold account for me to do that. Which kind of sucks because I am on a very limited budget. And I'd rather put, even though having our show account also have a gold account would be beneficial, I'd rather get more prioritized show items than a Xbox Live Gold, considering that I'm able to play multiplayer games on my Xbox One games, meaning, again, Red Dead Redemption 2, Master Chief Collection, Black Ops 4, and a lot of the current games instead of the previous generation games. So, that me getting a actual Xbox Live Gold can be later on down the line. Maybe, I don't know, June, July, or something like that. Who knows? But there have been other news out there. Okay, there's the split. And Destiny 3, 2020. One of the big things that came up this past week, and the article when we saw it, it was, let's see, today is the 13th, so it was yesterday it came up. A lot of people, I think it was yesterday afternoon that we saw it, is a lot of people are saying that, hey, we see DC's Titans on Netflix. This is DC Comics' own streaming service, saying, hey, we saw Titans on Netflix. You all got to watch this. It's on Netflix. And a lot of geek websites picked it up. Hey, it's on Netflix. You got to watch it. But the thing is, the people that were saying this were in European countries like Great Britain, Scotland, Australia. They were able to watch this show on Netflix over there. Now, this happens to a lot of at least a lot of American shows that our stuff is streaming easier on Netflix overseas than here in the States. Case in point, Rick and Morty. Hulu has the rights to air it, or at least when it comes out season as a complete season on Hulu straight through. But overseas, like Great Britain and maybe Italy and so forth and so on, Netflix has it. That's why, again, before Rick and Morty got, if you remember, we reported on it, that that was the big theory, that if Adult Swim said, hey, we don't want Rick and Morty anymore, we're going to cancel it, a lot of people were going, hey, Netflix, 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 you already have the rights to it overseas. Bring it here, bring it here. Make a bid. So that's the thing. And kind of speaking on Netflix, we got word as well, because the whole Bandersnatch thing is really, really big right now, and they were pushing the aspect of it's a this is, I believe, their wording to promote the Black Mirror Bandersnatch thing. It was a choose-your-own-adventure style movie. Now, the people that put out the book, the choose-your-own-adventure books, back in like the mid-1980s to roughly the mid-1990s, decided to weave their head and come back into existence and say, hey, that's our shtick. Choose Your Own Adventure is our shtick. We have the rights to that. We are suing. Now, whether or not Netflix will settle out of court like they did with Sabrina the Teenage Witch thing that they had with the Church of Satanism, because I think it was last year when Sabrina came out on Netflix, the Church of Satan came out and said, hey, you used one of our statues, we're going to sue you for $1 billion. And they settled out of Netflix, kind of set, the Church of Satan won by settlement, so they got something, but they don't, it wasn't disclosed how much, so this might be another settlement issue. But then again, let me put it like this. Because that's part, the whole aspect of choose your own adventure is part of our pop culture. It's one of those things that the company that owns the rights kind of has to do. They meaning that when you say Photoshop, that photo looks Photoshopped. Or Band-Aid, get a Band-Aid. These companies like Adobe Photoshop, Adobe, who owns the rights to Photoshop, don't like people using Photoshop or Photoshopped as a verb. So they have to constantly go out and try to defend the aspect of that saying, even though people still use it as a verb, i.e. that picture has been Photoshopped, even though someone else used a different program. They have to go out and say, no, you can't use that. You have to say something along the lines, that photo has been altered in the ways of the program Adobe Photoshop. It's a way of them kind of defending it, and not so, meaning if this company that owns the rights to choose your own adventure, say, oh, we want, you know, $50 million or $60 million. Netflix might say, all right, here's $5 million, let's settle. And that's probably the last thing we hear about it. And it's just a fun little story. Just to continue with the whole Netflix thing. Again, with the whole Titans thing, I've had friends say, because there was a little while back and forth with that Titans thing, being on Netflix, a back and forth saying it was here in the States, it wasn't here in the States, it was airing in Canada. Now, again, with that, a lot of people use a VPN. For those out there, it's a kind of internet an additional internet firewall, which makes the computer seem like it's in a different region and allows you to see. Meaning that if you watch a lot of Netflix on your computer and have a VPN, a good VPN, you're able to put your location in a place like London, and when you fire up Netflix, it will, everything that's being offered on Netflix in that region, you're able to see. Same thing with, like, if you changed it to Rome or Japan, you'd be able to see what's on Netflix in that area. So the people saying in Canada that, oh, we're able to see it, might have forgotten that they have a VPN turned on. So another thing that has come out, whether I'll probably go see it because even though my schedule has changed, I will try to go see several movies that are out coming out that are geeky that I want to see because I don't want to wait around 6-8 months for them to come on Netflix because I want to commentate on them right away. One of the things that we heard is one that both Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford will make an appearance in Star Wars Episode 9 later this year. Whether or not it's going to be a flashback scene, because it's already been reported that Carrie Fisher, before she passed, filmed a lot of scenes that never made it into Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Now, as you probably know, me and Big Candy didn't really like Last Jedi. And I thought Solo, a Star Wars story, it was very mediocre. It wasn't the best, but it was better than Last Jedi. But the thing is, how is this going to fall? Why do this? Why bring Solo back or Harrison Ford back? How is everything going to fit, do this, be a part of Star Wars? So, who knows? It might even make the film worse. I know the Star Wars fan base has already been divided up and down. So, that's the thing. So, we'll wait until the movie comes out and hear through a lot of the commentators what's going on. Another thing that I heard in regards to Star Wars is the fact that Episode 9 will be the last Star Wars movie ever, for the exception of maybe the TV shows. One person said, why is this happening? I want to see more of the movies. Well, The Last Jedi split the fan base big time. That's number one. And for a lot of the people, because of that split, there was a good chunk of the people that were sitting on the fence that The Last Jedi left a very, very bad taste in their mouth. And with that bad taste, they didn't see Solo, a Star Wars movie. So, a lot of people think, because still that bad taste, and how Lucasfilm has been treating the fans and everything else, not many people are going to see Episode 9. So there's a chance that that's going to tank. And between Last Jedi and this new Episode 9, as we all know, Solo kind of tanked. And because the box office has gone down due to Solo tanking, they canceled a lot of the additional Star Wars movies. They canceled Rian Johnson's his own trilogy that he was going to do for Star Wars. So that's the main reason. They probably figure, hey, if we do a TV series, if there's fan backlash, we could, boom, change it on the fly over the week or over the season. And if the fans come back, hey, we got them back with the TV show. And it's probably one of those things that's easy to adjust the storyline with a TV show than it is a movie, because of the process, the expense. So, let's see here. What else we got? This is me just promoting the show. Whether you like it or not, there will be for people my generation, there is going to be a Coming to America 2. This stars not just Eddie Murphy, but Arsenio Hall. The original movie came out in like the late 80s, mid to late 80s. It was a fun flick, real fun flick. Reports have come out saying that a lot of the main cast is coming back for this, including Arsenio Jones. Arsenio Jones. Rented Lips. I'm thinking about stepping online for a little while to play with some friends, maybe a little bit later before posting the show, do some streaming. So please forgive me. Arsenio Hall is returning. Eddie Murphy, of course, is returning. A lot of the original cast is returning. It's one of those comedies that I do recommend. finding on either Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, or any other major streaming service, and either renting or buying, because it's a fun comedy. I do say recommend checking it out. Let's see here. Let's see, Bungie, that's splitting. Oh, yeah, let's talk about, well, let's continue with Netflix a little bit. Because reports have come out that a lot of people, now, the article is very misleading, at least from what I've been hearing, or at least the articles that I read, because they completely miss, they kind of mentioned it, but how they presented their articles kind of weigh the fact that Netflix is going to be using this. But in a lot of the articles that have come out, that a tech company has made an AI that's able to detect user accounts and how many users are using that account. Because with what a lot of people do with Hulu, maybe Vudu, and Netflix is they share their password. And so friends and family are able to watch movies on their own screen. Now, a lot of people that have, maybe like I have an account that two screens, or in essence two users, could watch at once. Some people have the max, which is I think four or five. And that's the thing. If you're, with what I read, if you have those five accounts, that's fine, and you have five people just watching at any one point. That's fine. This AI is tending to go after the accounts that have that are two or that's like maybe at that max, and there are 10 people watching at once, or 20 people watching at once, or 30 people watching at once. Because according to one article, is that there are people out there that are selling their accounts in a way, meaning that they're going, "Hey, Tommy, you want Netflix on your TV? Give me $5, and they'll go to another person. "Hey, Jamie, give me five. You want Netflix? Give me $5. I'll give you my password for $5 a month." Frankie, you want Netflix too? Same deal, $5 a month. And they're making money off of handing out their password. And that's what they're trying to gun for and have this AI. No word has come out in regards to Netflix wanting this AI, just that it's out there and it's kind of gunning for a service such as for Netflix. But a lot of services like Netflix, and I know in the past a service like Netflix would say that, yeah, they don't really mind too much in regards to that. But the way they kind of word it, it's like, hey, if you have a plan that has four, and even though you might be in the only because the four device plan is like the higher definition, higher speed, and everything else, and they're like, The Netflix has come out and said, hey, you have this plan for four accounts. You're only watching this on maybe your TV or your mobile device when you're out and about. But if you want to give it to your friend Tommy or your friend Jeanette or whomever, so they can watch Netflix as well, we don't really mind that because you have that account option. And that's fine. They don't mind that. Even HBO at one point has stated that with their services, they want you to give out, kind of, they encouraged it. That even, I think, one of the CEOs of HBO gave out one of his passwords for one of the HBO streaming service. He said his logic behind sharing the password and people sharing passwords for their HBO accounts is the fact that, hey, people have cable TV. If they try our streaming network, which gives them some access to what is airing on HBO, and what comes out on that streaming service, it's a day or two later or 3 days later after that particular show, like Game of Thrones, airs, What if they want to watch it that day, or maybe the day out sooner? They have to pay the extra $10 for HBO to watch it that day instead of on demand. So that's where we got them. They might borrow a friend's password, but if they really want HBO, guess what? They're coming to us. They're signing up for our service through cable. So that's how at least HBO sees it. It's like, hey, let them have the password, because if they want the full product, they're going to come to us. So I can understand that. I can agree with that. So let them. Let's see. Not going to talk about that. And not really going to talk about that. And we talked about that. Now, let's talk about Venom. As you probably heard last week, we gave a little bit of a review about Venom and our thoughts. Now, word has come out that they are talking about the sequel. It's already started. They're already working on it, and it's moving forward. And it has the original two bits of news have come out, and that is one, that the original writer is coming back, and two, Woody Harrelson is coming to the sequel as Carnage. Now, for some of you who seen the movie, know that there was like a mid-credit roll or an after-credit roll scene in that movie starring Woody Harrelson. And yes, so therefore, well, it's not really a spoiler. Because it's like an after credit scene or mid credit roll scene. He was in that, so this is the kind of a continuation. Let's see. That's kind of hard to tell in regards to everything else. And I'm gonna say this. I will say this. The one of the bits and pieces we c that came in. I wasn't going. I skipped over it. I'm gonna bring it up. One of the things, because again, we're talking about Netflix, news came up that a few years ago, Kevin Smith approached like Hulu and Netflix. He said in the article, it was like, oh, this was like 2, 3 years ago. I approached Hulu and Netflix to do a Mallrats sequel, because people keep asking him, is there going to be a sequel? We want to see a sequel to Mallrats. You did one for Clerks. Let's have one for Mallrats. And he said, well, Netflix turned me down as well as Hulu. My initial response was, Netflix, really? 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 So you turned down Kevin Smith, especially for against Adam Sandler? Who's the better filmmaker here? So, Kevin Smith constantly has films that do fairly well. Last Adam Sandler film kind of sucked and had its own problems. For those who are not familiar, Netflix a few years ago signed a deal with Adam Sandler to do a couple of movies and a couple of projects for Netflix. Prior to that, Adam Sandler had two movies that bombed. One was Pixels. I forgot what the other one was. In essence, all I remember about the other one prior to that was he played himself, or granted the character he was playing was not himself, but he played that character. He also played his female twin in that movie, and both movies did not do well at the box office. Pixels was okay, but because it, in a way, it kind of bit itself in the ass promotionally, because through one of these video sharing device websites similar to YouTube, they had their own channel. I think it was like Daily Motion or something like that. And the film company that had the trailer on that particular website decided, we want a copyright claim everything that has the word pixel in it. And they copyrighted claim and tried to get, I think they managed to do get a lot of the videos that had any variant of the word pixel taken down due to copyright issues. And it backfired on themselves because guess what happened? They had to take down their own trailer because they, in essence, copyright claimed themselves in this. Yes, you heard it right. They created like a bot to copyright claim all these videos that had the word pixel or pixels in it. And that bot came back around and copyright claimed themselves, from if memory serves. But personally, I would have loved to see Kevin Smith come to Netflix and do stuff there. Now, mind you, there is a lot of films that are on Netflix that Kevin Smith has done independently over the past few years. I think Tusk is one of them. I want to check that out. I've heard good and bad in regards to it. So we'll have to see. If I do get a chance to see it, I'll give you guys a review on that. Let's see what else. But speaking of Kevin Smith, he is starting process on the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. How that is going to happen, who knows? Where he's going to start in regards to the whole movies. Again, who knows? So let's see how far. Oh, we're at almost an hour. That's pretty dang good in regards to that. I think we covered a lot of decent topics in regards to what's been happening. But since I won't say this, I'm going to try to set up my computer over the next week or so. Hopefully by next time we have to record an episode. And that way we could get at least Big Candy in on Skype, because I do not want him to travel in this type of weather if we're getting this type of weather again. And it's kind of hard for me right now to go out and schedule the conference room at Daily Grind on the weekend. But I might have to speak to one other place in regards to where we could set up and record easy in regards to a hostful. But I don't want him traveling in bad weather, because he has family, and I don't want him to get injured just because of recording the show. That's why we tend to record for Skype, because of safety and other reasons as well. So I'm going to close out. 47 to 50 minutes has been a wonderful broadcast. Stay tuned to our Mixer channel in regards to streaming. I'll try stream more during the week than the weekends, but I will try to stream on the weekends when I have a chance as well. What else? That being said, we will be streaming. We don't stream on Twitch. We stream on Mixer. And our channel site is mixer.com/LCMP. And LCMP is all in caps. If you have any comments, speaking of comments and questions, I want to hear, who do you think is a better filmmaker, Adam Sandler or Kevin Smith? Email the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and let us know if you prefer, and tell us what your favorite movie is from that particular choice. If it's Kevin Smith, what your favorite Kevin Smith movie is. If it's Adam Sandler, what your favorite movie is and why. You can also DM us on, direct message us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And you can direct message us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is LongCoatMafia. You can direct message us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is LongCoatMafia. Wait a minute, I said that wrong. Our Twitter handle is LongCoatMafia, and our Instagram tag is LongCoatMafia. You can direct message us on both. And while you're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, sending us messages and interacting with us, click that follow button, click that like button, and follow us, because we're now being a little bit more active on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm trying to be a little bit more active on Instagram as well. Getting our show, if you're the person that is starting to be more on the go and that's doing a lot of traveling. Heck, it's winter. We just got our first snow of the year here in the Northeast, or at least the Eastern Seaboard, and a lot like the New York and Pennsylvania and Virginia and West Virginia and Maryland area. If you're stuck inside and want to listen to a bunch of podcasts, you can listen to us on your desktop computer or your laptop computer by heading over to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify. And plus, if all else fails, you could go to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. But if you're planning to take a trip or constantly heading to work or need to work out and like to listen to podcasts when you work out and you're on the go all the time, you could, as always, listen to us on Google Play Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the Stitcher app, the Spotify app, plus the Podbean app. I do recommend the Podbean app, plus other places where podcasts are found. So all of you out there, I do thank you. Maybe next week I'll dive in to see what we have in regards to reviews on iTunes, and I'll read some of those out there to thank all of you. And for all of you who have followed us on Instagram and, by the way, YouTube. I almost forgot about YouTube. Our YouTube link will be in the show description, but we do have a YouTube channel. I do have a bunch of videos to put up when I have to kind of sew together and present it a little bit better. And stay tuned to our podcast because great things are going to come to pass. Namely with probably Earl. He wants to get with me for a couple of projects. I don't know how that's going to work out. He's a very busy man. He's a wonderful man. I want to say that. And we have a couple of projects that we have to get with Don about, because he wants to work with us in regards to a couple of projects he has in mind, and we get to kind of spread the content with what he's working on. So that's wonderful. I love working with Earl and Don. Plus, we might have other projects on the way, other interviews. Who knows what's going to happen this year. So take care, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful night. I hope all of you are staying warm if you're in a cold area or what have you, staying warm and everything else. Take care, and remember, if you have no family, we are family. We are the Long Coat Mafia podcast, the internet's most hated podcast. Come with us, your family here. That's the point of this podcast. So take care, see you all next week, and keep on listening.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.